Welcome back to Two Impossible. It's Rashawn.
And Miss Melanie, someone got a notification. Oh, I am a little tired. I had a very full weekend.
That's good.
It
How'd you
was
have
very
fun?
good. And for those of you who are following us on our social media, to a possible no, 2AP Studios on Instagram and Two and a Possible on Facebook. You got to see all the pictures that I took at C2E2 this weekend. So definitely check that out if you have not already. But yeah, so I was at C2E2 this weekend and it was a blast.
So what did you get into?
It's a 3-day con. We got there Friday. And so on Friday, got to sit in on a panel for it was basically around what do you do after Wakanda? So it was about Afrofuturism. And so, after Black Panther came out, we saw a resurgence or rather more of a focus on things related to Afrofuturism. There's a lot of more books about it. There's a lot more sci-fi stories about it. When I said books, I meant like comic books, but I mean also like sci-fi books written about it. Movies are coming out. And so it was a panel that was talking about how we can use that in a more positive way. The panel itself was interesting. I was hoping that it would delve a little more deeply into what we can actually do to spark the conversation and not let it stay as one-dimensional as it could. And there were some really good points that were actually brought up about it, because I think sometimes what happens is that people don't always put Black people into the narrative of the future. Like, we're always kind of not thinking of Black, what we will look like in the future. And so, that's definitely a thing that happens. So DMC was on the panel, and his perspective on it always includes some element of hip hop. So I think that's always interesting, because I mean, while hip hop definitely shapes a lot of the culture around how African Americans specifically, but Black people in general, are pushed into the narrative, I don't think it always plays a role, but he always weaves it into the narrative. So that's always interesting to hear his perspective. So that was one panel that I was able to sit on, so that was cool. And then another panel that I sat in was one with Marv Wolfman and George Perez. So they were able to talk about just some of the things that they've written, and their history, with some of the books that they've created, and just some tips for creatives looking to get into the industry. And it was really cool hearing from some legends talk about, what it was working in, with the different book houses, and how their creative process, how they work together, just how to take good criticism and work together to make your best product. So that was a really cool panel that I sat in as well. It's just really nice to sit back and hear from, some iconic people who really set the tone for comics, really, and set like the future for where we are now. Marv kind of talked about how he created, that superhero that's deaf and uses sign language. So he talked about like how and why he created that, and like how it was so difficult for anyone else to pick it up because it was so much his creation, and how he really encourages other artists to really make characters their own when they excuse me, pick them up, but sometimes that's difficult. But there were also some really great cosplays. Like I said, check out our Instagram, 2AP Studios, to see some of the pictures I took, but there were some really, really good ones. One of the things I didn't realize until I got there was that there is the World Showcase of Cosplay competition at C2E2. So I was able to watch that and see some of the best cosplays I've ever seen, and also get to see the competition. And someone was able to walk away with $5,000 and win the competition. And it was like the world championships. So there were cosplayers from all over the world, Indonesia, China, Australia, France, the UK. Then this was the first year that there was a contestant from Africa, who happened to be a white lady, but that's fine. But it was just interesting. It was just interesting to see some of the top players. You know, there were only about 5 people of color, but I guess that's good that there were some people of color, so that was cool. But yes, the costumes were from all sorts of different genres. The categories range from artillery to embroidery and just general artistry. So it was really good. It was really fun to just watch. So I cosplayed. We did a Hamilton one, so I was one of the Styler sisters. Then I was Captain Marvel, which was fun because I ran into a Shazam. So we had a Captain Marvel reunion, basically. And then I did Snow White. And then on the day that I did Snow White, I ran into someone who was cosplaying Mickey Mouse, like with full-on Mickey costume, like the kind you would see at the Walt Disney World parks. So that was a super cool picture that I got to take. But yeah, so overall, it was a great time. I think I really enjoy C2E2. It's a little smaller, obviously, than NYCC. I don't know the full numbers of how many people were there, but this was their 10th year, and they actually sold out one of the days. So, you know, they call it the little con that could, because, you know, it's right in between Emerald City, and, you know, they actually compete a lot with Wizard World, which I think Wizard New World's cons are kind of declining as far as participation and how fans are really reacting to what Wizard World is putting out. So that was some of the feedback that I heard from other people who are attending, who kind of attend both. So I think Reed Pop's doing a really great job in putting up these Comic-Cons. And so it's really doing a really great job in putting on a show. So I think overall it was a great time, and I'm looking forward to my next experience at a con. But yeah, it was a great weekend. What'd you do this weekend?
I just saw the movie Us on Friday, chilled, stayed in the house, nothing eventful.
Well, seeing Us sounds eventful. That I hear that movie did excellent at the box office this weekend.
It did 70 million.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really great. I mean, Jordan is definitely knocking it out of the park. I'm hearing mixed reviews about Us, though.
Yeah, some people just don't get it.
And when you say don't get it, what do you mean?
Like, people were trying to look for deeper meanings in certain things, but I'm like, it's not really a deeper meaning movie compared to how Get Out was a movie that was I had a beginning, a middle, and end. Us is more of a beginning, middle, end, but it leaves it open to go back into the world of Us, because even Jordan Peele said he would like to revisit Us in a sequel, possibly in the future.
Oh, did he say that?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, so spoilers for those of you who have seen the movie, who haven't seen the movie and don't want to be spoiled. So obviously, I don't do scary movies, but I did want to know like what the movie was about. And similar to Get Out, I read the Wikipedia, because that's what I do for movies that I think are too scary for me. So I love the premise of this. So it starts out with her going to this fun house when she's younger, and the reveal at the end kind of trips me out. So like, are we sure that she's the same person or not?
No, it's like this. If you see the movie, and you've seen a lot of horror movies or a lot of movies with twists, you will 100% see this twist coming.
Like when, like at what point in the movie are you not sure which one is which?
Oh, I knew which was which as soon as I seen her go into the funhouse.
What like going to the funhouse? Like when she was little or when she got older?
When she was little.
So when she came out of the funhouse, you knew it wasn't the same girl?
Yeah, I knew it wasn't.
Okay. All right. Okay. I mean, obviously that's not clear from reading it. So, okay. So
Yeah, yeah.
you know, going into the rest of the movie that that's not the same chick.
Yeah, I knew immediately because I'm like, yeah, they switched. She switched with the other girl because there's another scene in the movie where you go to the flashback and they're talking about her parents are talking with the therapist, talking about, oh, she was gone for like maybe 15 minutes and whatever, and now she's not speaking, talking, anything. I was like, yeah, she got switched because she's the other girl that was down in the underground and she switched places with her. And that's why she's not talking because she didn't know how to talk or anything until they retaught it to her.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was.
Wow. Okay. So that adds more context. Yeah. So this was so okay, here's my thing. Like, so the reason I don't like scary movies, it's
It's
not
not
like
scary.
it's not the blood and the gore. So what I mean, so okay, so my vocabulary is limited, or I need to find better words to explain. So I say scary and people think I mean like boo, and I don't mean like jump scares. Although jump scares also I don't like because I'm generally a jumpy person and I have anxiety, so I would rather not. But I mean like psychological things that will like freak me out for a long time thinking about people not being who they really are. Like I don't need that in my life. So like that's what I mean. Like I don't want to have to like think about doppelgangers all the time, 'cause I will, 'cause like the way my mind works, I'm like always thinking. And so like what I enjoy about Jordan and the way he writes and the way he directs is that he creates scenarios that are so realistic and yet, you know, fantasy, but like this could happen. Like the government totally could have a whole secret thing creating a thing and then it goes wrong and then they're like, "Oh well, because we don't have enough money to keep it up." You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's not past the realm of possibility. I know I say that, and then people are like, "And yet you don't believe in aliens." And I'm like, "Yeah, because there's no basis for that, but basis for government experiments that they don't fully fund. Yeah, there's a precedent there."
You don't believe in dinosaurs.
Right, there's no precedence for that either. Those
Oh
could
my
be giant.
God.
Those could be giant bones. So yeah.
So you would believe in giants before you believe in dinosaurs.
Correct, 100%. Evidence is there's precedence. Again, we've stated this already.
Where are the giants at?
There've been written. There's written
Where's the
like
giants at?
there. I just explained to you that there's written chronological evidence that people have seen giants.
I'm sorry, folks. You see what I deal with every week.
You can sigh all you want to. Show me an alien, it will be fine. Anyway,
Right. I'm
moving
waiting for the moment aliens come down to Earth. Then I'm like, yeah, there you go. There's your proof.
on. Fine. When that day comes, I will gladly say to you, thank you. I am apologize for not believing. But since that day will never come, I don't have to worry.
It's
But
gonna
yeah,
come.
Us looked like I said, I think he wrote, I mean, I don't know. How was the acting?
Acting was amazing.
How was
Especially because
Winston?
Winston was fine. Think of Winston as just a buffer version of Jordan Peele, because I felt like Jordan Peele kind of put Winston as like himself in the movie. And like okay, this character is kind of like Jordan's personality or something. I was like the corny old guy who like he's like the corny dad you always have. And like, but he's also the dude that also went to Howard. So I'm like, hey, Black's still there.
Okay.
So but then you have because you have to have all these characters playing double roles. So you have these kids who are amazing actors. You have young Lupita's character who doesn't need to say anything in the movie at all, but just her expression on her face shows that she can act really, really well.
I don't
Lupita having.
know. Sorry, I'm just reminded of the fact that isn't it true that only one of the doppelgangers can talk?
Yeah, it's just Lupita and Lupita's doppelganger.
So isn't that more evidence that she switched with her? Because none of the other doppelgangers can talk. But if the other doppelganger came out, like switched with her and couldn't talk until they retaught her to talk, then that's more evidence that she switched with the little girl when she was little. And then, like, so why didn't the little girl teach the other ones to talk?
Because Lupita kind of, I think the young one might have fucked up her throat when she choked her out.
No. Why didn't she teach any of the other doppelgangers to talk?
Because it's like this. When the little girl was getting switched, she got choked out. I think she fucked up her windpipe or something. Because the way she's talking is like, it's really, really tough for her to talk.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was like, I feel like she damaged her when she went to wrap her hands around her neck and choked her out in order for her to switch places.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and like her being young, certain things, nothing, there's no like medical staff or anything like that, so couldn't do anything to her.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But it's an interesting concept in the movie. And it's just great to see dark-skinned black actors in the lead roles of these movies now. So I'm kind of like, yay. And the movie did record-breaking numbers, highest grossing debut of R-rated movie that's like non-superhero or everything else like that. So I'm kind of happy with that one.
So I think, so the people who I hear saying that that it got too much hype and they don't see why it's such a big draw and blah, blah, blah. I think that's, so it's twofold, right? Like, I feel like if you went to go see the movie because it had Jordan Peele's name on it, then that's on you. Like, it's not like anybody was like, oh, this is going to be the best movie you ever saw. Like, it was like Jordan Peele's making a horror movie. If you like horror movies, you go to see it. But I feel like I don't know if it was like hyped up like it was going to be the best movie ever. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a horror fan, so I wasn't like super excited, but I know a lot of people were excited because they thought it was going to be another Get Out. But I think he really tried to say, this is not Get Out. This is not political. This is not about anything else. It's just a horror movie. So I think some people went in with higher expectations, and maybe that's why they're disappointed, but it doesn't sound like it was like a bad movie. But I'm hearing people like pan it like it was like boring or something.
No, this movie was not boring at all. And I enjoyed every bit of the movie. And he kind of can balance certain things out very well with horror and comedy. Also, you have like a lot, like a good lighter moments. But then it's like, yeah, that would happen. Even like they even had like a little setup of like the daughter talking about trying to drive the car and everything else like that. I'm saying she wanted to get her she wants to get her car and learn how to drive and all that. But then it comes back around into the movie again where it's like, oh yeah, we just had to kill our family friend's doubles after they already killed them, and each one of them had a kill at this point. And they're talking about, like, I'm driving. Dad's leg's hurt. You're still handcuffed. I'm the only one who can drive. It's like, no. And I have the highest kill count. Like, it's like, no. I had the highest kill count because I had to kill the other twin that was already in the house.
Oh, so they're having an argument about how many people everyone's killed? That's crazy.
They literally have an argument while the daughter's trying to be the one driving the car since the mom's hands are still handcuffed. And the dad's leg is really messed up, and they're trying to get on the road.
Yeah, because families have arguments like that. That's funny. That's cool. All right. Well, I mean, yeah, like I said, I mean, I hope it continues to do well in the theaters.
It will.
And
it's already made back its budget. So
I just think that it's interesting that there were so many people, like a lot of people, who were just like, I could have waited for this to come out on video or whatever. So, I mean, I guess we'll see. I mean, obviously, it's doing well in the theater, so those comments aren't really making much traction or whatever. But yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and I was more worried, not more about the audience. I was more worried about critics and the critics' enjoy the movie a lot, and I'm kind of like, okay, good. That's the only thing I was worried about, because you have, like, people could be like, hey, it was a one-hit wonder, that was all, but I'm like, no, it's not. This man knows what he's doing. He, people who have, or usually in, like, the comedy sphere, really have a good eye for, like, dramatic roles, horror, stuff like that, and he can really balance it out. So I'm kind of like, I can't wait to see, like, what else he has for us, because he has his Twilight series that's about to drop April 1st. And then he's doing
Twilight
the new
Zone, Candyman. You mean?
Yeah, Twilight Zone, yeah. Then he also has Candyman in the works also.
I mean, I'd like to see him do something that wasn't horror, but, I mean, I guess I'll wait for him to do a regular movie so I can see one of his films.
Then watch Keanu.
No, I'm good.
yeah, exactly. So I'm like, he's sticking to what his wheelhouse is.
And that's fine. Like I said, I'll wait for him. I mean, maybe somewhere down the line, he'll do a serious film, and I'll see that. And that's fine. And until then, I'll just be a fan from afar and support him in other ways. But yeah, I'll just watch reruns of Keenan Peele. And
Keenan Peele or Mad TV.
Yeah. Because I don't do horror, and his sense of humor and mine aren't in movies, aren't very similar. But anyways, so that's cool. So Shazam, I think, comes out this week.
Yeah, I was gonna see it this weekend, but I'll try to get to it.
I'm definitely gonna see it this weekend. I'm so excited about it. I cannot wait. I think I'm going to love it. The previews make me so happy. I think it's going to be a super fun movie, so I'm super excited. So it's definitely on my palette to come to go and see. So that is on my list. Yeah, so Shazam is on my list. There was an excellent Shazam costume at CCB2. I posted it to the Instagram and Twitter, so definitely check that out for those of you listening. Super, super great costume. This dude was super fit, and he looked great. He looked just like Billy Batson. But yeah, it was really great, and I've looked forward to the movie. So I don't know much about the character, to be honest. So I think going into the movie, I would just be able to enjoy it as a film.
Yeah.
But I think from some people who were able to see a preview of it this weekend at the con, you know, some people who said that they, you know the character intimately, you know, had some issues with some of the things that were changed or moved around. But besides that, if you go in as a fan of just comic book movies or stories about kids doing what they can with newfound powers, that you will enjoy the story. As a movie itself, it's entertaining. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I don't mind seeing the second Captain Marvel movie of the year. So
okay.
What? That's Shazam's original name is Captain Marvel.
I that's fine. I get that, but I don't know why people need to continue to bring that up. Like, I think it's weird to do that. Like, they lost the copyright to that so many years ago.
Yeah, but you gotta know the history of the character. So that's
Do you though? Like, is it important to the context of where we are now?
Yeah.
Not really. It doesn't change anything or add value to the context of the situation. But I mean, if it's a cool bit of tidbit of information to share, sure. Yes, he was originally Captain Marvel, and then he still is, I guess, but whatever. Uh-huh. I just think it's funny that, like, he would say Shazam, and then people thought that that was his name. I think that's hilarious. But, and then they were like, oh, I guess we have to call it Shazam now. Like, that part's funny. But, I mean, no one knows him as Captain Marvel anymore.
You say that, but old comic book fans, like, hardcore comic book fans will always know him as Captain Marvel. That's kind of, like, why.
I get it. I just think, like, some of the memes that were anti Captain Marvel, the real one, were really pushing that misogyny, using it that like, oh, the real, like the, like, oh, Captain Marvel, like the other Captain Marvel movies coming out, like as if to say, I don't know, I just don't understand why they're coming out so close to each other. I just thought it was weird that they were both coming out this year, that they were both planned around the same time. Like, it's just, it was an interesting choice that DC made. But you know what? More superhero movies for Melanie to go see. So it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. All right. So Avengers is going to be 3 hours long. I'm so excited. Aren't you excited?
For a 3-hour and 2-minute movie? No. But when it's Avengers, yes.
Did you say no? Who doesn't want a longer movie? Like, I feel like the
some movies drag.
Harry Potter movies needed to be longer. Like, they cut so much out. Like, the first cut of, like, I think the fourth Harry Potter movie was supposed to be 4 hours, and they're like, nah, we can't do that. Who said no? I would have sat through a 4-hour movie, put an intermission in the middle, and we would be fine. They used to do that back in the day. Like, The Sound of Music has an intermission. My Fair Lady has an intermission. Gypsy has an intermission. Like, I don't know why they think that they can't do this. Like, we pay enough for these movies. We now have theaters that have leather reclining seats where they bring you food and drinks right to your chair. Like, legit, put out 3-hour, 4-hour movies. People will go and pay money. Like, just do it.
If you say so.
I did.
Uh-huh, but I can sit through a 3-hour film if it's a Marvel Avengers movie, no problem. But certain other things, I'm like, nope. I remember I seen an Andrew Garfield movie with Adam Driver and Liam Neeson. And it was so long to the point where I'm like, I kind of wanted to just hit my head against the chair of the movie theater consistently until I passed out. Because I was like, I can't leave. I'm stuck here. I can't go anywhere. There's no escape.
You could have left. Nobody was holding you hostage. You could have left.
My ride was there. I was stuck. That was the only way I'm getting home. I'm like, seriously, like, that's the only way. And the only reason I even watched the movie because it was during, because the movie got nominated for a stupid Oscar. And I'm like, I have to watch these movies. I have to watch these movies. And I'm like, ah. It was called Silence. And it came out. It was a Martin Scorsese movie. It is literally about two priests going to Japan to find one of their priests that was there in order to bring him back home. They end up getting tortured, abused, stuck in the country itself because of their religion.
Oh, that sounds like a loads of fun.
Yep.
And not actually. I'm trying to think of long movies. So like Lord of the Rings, definitely sat through that, loved every second of it.
Never watched it.
Well, I definitely, The Ten Commandments is a long movie, but I think that has an intermission. I sat through all of that, love it. Let's see. Scarface is like 3 hours. People seem to love that movie.
Yeah, I've never seen it. Interesting.
Okay, I've never seen it, so I don't know. Cleopatra with Elizabeth Taylor is like 3 hours long, and that people love that movie. I would have sat through that. I mean, I've seen that, but it was on TV, so it's even longer. all the Lord of the Rings are over 3 hours. Avatar is like 3 hours long. People sat through that. Casino also 3 hours long. People love that movie. The Green Mile also 3 hours long. People sat through that. I mean, I think if the movie is good, it can be over 3 hours and not a problem. Like, Wolf of Wall Street is another example. Like, I loved that movie. That movie is long as all get out.
But the movie is 100% interesting.
Right. So as long as the movie is interesting and well-directed and the cinematography is amazing, I think you can have long movies. And like I said, you can do it, especially now when the theaters are like luxury. It's like being at home, except with amazing sound system, wonderful digital cinema, digital quality, and they bring drinks and food right to your seat. Like, I mean, I think the movie experience is great. And I mean, for the price we're paying for these tickets, yes, I want a longer movie. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I'm super excited and ready for Avengers Endgame. I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunate. Read this, which could be the spoilers of spoilers. I'm not going to say it, but could be the spoilers of spoilers, which basically a rundown of the three acts of the film. And I hope it's not true, because then I've like ruined the film for myself. But if it is true, it sounds like this is going to be an amazing movie. But yeah, I read this spoiler from Reddit, and it sounds like we're in for a ride. But it could just be, you know, some fan fiction. So we'll see. But do you think we'll see Lady Death in this movie?
I have no idea, because I don't trust any of the promotion.
You shouldn't. The Russo brothers are great at that. Removing people, adding things, taking things away, showing us clips that aren't in the damn movie.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if the whole damn trailer was just a lie.
No, not the whole trailer. That's a waste of money. I mean, I guess they hemorrhage cash, so not hemorrhage. I mean, they have money to over money when these movies come out, so they can do whatever they want.
These movies have made them $18 billion.
Yeah, so they can do whatever they want. But I would be annoyed. Like, how you all show us these white suits and then they never wear white suits? Oh, it's funny. That would be hilarious if that scene of them all walking and we never see them walk down that corridor in the white suits. We're like, hey, where are the white suits? That nope, the suits are never white, not once. That would be hilarious. All right. So you told me that there's gonna be a Craft reboot.
Yeah, with from Blumhouse. Blumhouse.
Okay, tell me more.
That's all I know. They're starting to shoot in July.
Did you see the original?
I haven't seen it in forever, but I've seen it once.
Is it going to be with the original cast?
No, it's a reboot.
I mean, you could still have the original cast and they're doing other things or being older versions of themselves.
Possibly. Oh, one person doesn't fucking age at all.
Yeah, so she could still be in it. Yeah, okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, it's a good possibility of like seeing something in the modern of like, it's a cult classic, so I'm like, okay.
There was a meme going around that was saying you can tell a lot about a person by what they know Tim Curry from. So I'm going to ask you, what is the first thing you remember seeing Tim Curry in?
Rocky Horror.
That's the first thing that comes to mind?
That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Wow. Interesting. Okay.
I could have been like Palpatine, Star Wars, because he was the voice of Palpatine for the Clone Wars. cartoon.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not like a, like, or it could also be like Pennywise, but that's about it.
Gotcha. Yeah. So the first thing I would say would also be Rocky Horror Picture Show. But the second thing, or on the same level, would be Rooster from Annie, the original Annie from the 70s. He played the orphanage lady's brother. And that's he sang Easy Street, and that's like what I really remember him from. Mostly musicals, because I love his voice. But yeah, we didn't talk about this last week, but I wanted to. How many chuggas to a choo choo?
Wait, what?
So there was this guy, and he said that his preschool teacher for his son only said one chugga to a choo choo. So she would go chugga choo choo instead of like chugga chugga choo choo, or like
how many times do you say it?
I think you should say 8.
16.
I'm sorry, what?
16.
16 chuggas?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of train is this?
Chugga 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 choo choo.
No, your train
16.
Not
16 times.
You 16 times. What are you? This is now bored. Chugga 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 chugga. That's too much. You want to have some choo choos in there. It's like off tempo if you don't throw some choo choos in there.
16 times.
16 is too much. Anyways, so this somebody created what's it called? An alignment. an alignment chart for the chuggas, and based on the alignment number, based on what you just said, you are chaotic evil because your number of chuggas is ridiculous. And based on mine, I am lawful good. So yeah, I'll post it on the Instagram. But I was just like, I think it's hilarious that like it started a whole discussion all over the internet last week. So I wanted to ask what you thought. But 16 is way too much. no kid is sitting around waiting for 16 chuggas. Like that's too much.
Mm.
I also think that anyone with an odd number of chuggas is a psycho, because it's got to be even numbered.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to be even number. All right. So switching the news real quick. So I don't know how much more we're gonna get on the college scandal, but Dr. Dre should have just sat there and ate his food. Because nobody asked you and you put yourself out there for no reason. So Dr. Dre comes out and he's like, my daughter got in because she's smart. Okay. But you also donated to the school right before she went into high school, which could have had nothing to do with nothing. And she could have decided, like, she could have applied to like 7 other schools besides the one you donated to, but ended up going to the one that and got into all the ones she applied to, sure. But we don't know, right? We don't know the whole story. But you know, people on the internet.
He deleted the post.
Of course he did, because it wasn't a good look. I mean, people were dragging him. Oh. But to his thing, at least he did it the old-fashioned way.
Oh, like white people?
I mean, not just white people. Black people have been donating to schools, too.
Yeah, I'm just saying. $70 million.
Some black people have money as well.
I know, but I understand. $70 million. His daughter was going to that school regardless. He didn't care. He was
Not
like, you
necessarily.
go.
She might have wanted to go to a different school and maybe he would have been cool with that. We don't know the whole story, which is why he should have sat there and ate his food. He opened up a can of worms he didn't need to open, trying to be cute. Just a mess. But he learned his lesson today or
True.
this weekend.
He could have been quiet, take his $825 million he has, and just chilled out.
Listen, all of that. I was like, sir, nobody asked you. Nobody was coming at you. Nobody said nothing. And now she got to be at school and people are going to be like, well, we know why you're here. You know what I mean? Like, just added. I mean, I'm sure people already knew, but like, just adding extra muss to fuss for nothing.
Oh yeah, also Aunt Becky's children are still at the school.
I thought they dropped out.
They did not drop out. They're still
So why
enrolled.
all the news articles were saying they dropped out?
They are still enrolled.
Oh, but that doesn't mean that they're at the school.
But they're still enrolled as in A, they're still students there. They are not students yet.
But that doesn't mean that they're at the school. They could be on like roll calls, but that doesn't mean that they're like on the campus. That doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't matter. They already live in California. They live close enough already.
Yeah, but that doesn't, just because they show up in like a system doesn't mean that they are stupid. I whatever. I'm not taking
Unless you're, if you're not out the system, you're still a student.
that's fine. But if you're not going to classes, I mean, whatever. I'm not putting salt to that. I mean, that doesn't hold salt with me. Like, I'm pretty sure they're not attending classes.
But some students don't attend classes until it's time to take the finals.
I mean, I don't know what kind of schools you've been going to, but attendance usually counts for part of your grade. Well, at least it did a BAPS in. Like, you couldn't just like show up on the final day. Like, that's any degree that's worth its salt would not allow you to just show up to take the test. Like, that's not how that works. But I don't know how USC works, so I don't know.
And those girls weren't really going for the degree. They were just going there for the experience.
I don't know. I think the older sister actually wanted to go to school. It was the younger one who was talking about how she didn't want to go.
Yeah, no, they kind of both blame their mother for all this. But I'm like, yeah, I think one of y'all didn't know, the other one definitely knew.
I mean, I think all the students are a little complacent.
Yeah, but. The
Because you got.
one, yeah, but the ones that are like right now, I'm like, are still in school, but it's like we didn't know our parents did this or whatever. And then it's like, well, now you have some students like depressed, suicidal, and you have other ones that are right now about to be taken out of the school and taken out of the schools and like, hey, you're getting out, you're getting kicked out because of all this mess.
I mean, I can understand the school standpoint. One, it makes the schools look horrible. Two, I feel sorry for the students who like maybe got to school and then actually started to put work in, but like it's not a good look.
There
And
are
I mean, it makes sense for them to say, hey, we have to rescind your application because it was on faulty pretenses. Like, that makes sense to me.
No,
But
they're even talking about rescinding degrees of people who've already graduated.
wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, that's a little bit too much already. They've already been to your school. They paid you all their money. They got their damn degree. You can let them slide, but I'm like, come on, just like you can't just like, hey, we're rescinding your degree. It doesn't count anymore.
I mean, if they finished all their classes,
Yeah, I'm like, they've already finished everything and they've already
if they
graduated.
passed their classes and stuff, then I mean, I don't know. That's
Yeah.
a bit much. I mean, but like if they're currently enrolled, then okay, fine. But like if they graduated, I mean, I don't know about all that, but I mean, I get it. I understand the thought process, but that seems a bit drastic. I mean, because they've already. Oh, can you imagine though? Because I mean, that's just a lot. Like, you lied to get into the school, then you used the degree that that you got at the school that you faked your way into to get a really good job. And then, I mean, it's just a snowball effect. You know what I mean? Like, ugh.
My question will be, are you going to pay me my money back?
Nah, you faked your way in here. You don't get the money back.
I earned this degree. I still got the grades. And if you try to return my...
I wouldn't give you a cent back because you ruined the reputation of the school. Nah. Nope. No money back. No money back.
And no degree back.
I don't know. I think I think asking for the degree back is a lot, but I wouldn't expect them to pay them back anything. They broke the law. Like, I don't know what law it is. I'm sure there's some kind of law that would have been broken. And I think whatever the cost of that is would be, I don't know. I wouldn't give them any money back though. Speaking of schools, it's really creepy and sad that we've had 3 suicides related to the Parkland shooting survivors.
I wouldn't be surprised if there wouldn't be any more.
I don't understand what's going on, but it's really eerie. I don't understand.
Wasn't it just the anniversary?
Yes, but...
I mean, like, stuff like that doesn't go away. Some people just didn't get the proper help they needed in certain ways of being able to talk to a therapist, talking to someone about how they're feeling, and some of them are going straight into college, getting overwhelmed with classes and stuff like that, and it just sends them into...
But one of them was a parent. Depression.
I know one of them was a parent. And I'm just saying, it was just the anniversary. So a parent is like, hey, it's been a year, and stuff like that happens. Like, people get depressed, and around that time of day of something else, like, I have a friend I have to console and talk to around this time of the year because she lost her son years ago, but it's always around the date close to her birthday, and she always needs some type of consoling for her not to be as depressed as she is when it gets around the date. So I'm like, someone's not getting enough help talking to someone. They get depressed, and it can be a dark moment, and they took their life. It can eat away at a parent.
You think it's as simple? Yeah, sorry, not simple, but you think it's just that. You don't think it's anything sinister?
No. Okay. It's just depression.
All right. So you think it's just depression? Not just, but you think it's depression and related to specifically to dealing or not being able to deal with the event and not something else?
Yeah, I think it's just that. I'm like, okay. I'm not looking into it as like something sinister or anything else like that. I'm just like looking at.
I think I hear that, but I don't know. It's not sitting well with me, for it to be so. Because I feel like when after the first suicide, people would look in on the other on people would be looking in on people. So I don't know. Something don't smell right.
I see it as like this. I could see
something don't smell right.
Me, I can see it like this. The first suicide happens, and then it's like someone else from the school is like, that might be the way to go.
Yeah, no, I don't know. And if anyone is ever thinking that way, I would hope that they would reach out to someone close to them or a hotline or, you know, their place of solace, or if they are a believer, to their church family, because I feel like that's not the answer. It's definitely not the answer. There are people and places that can help you. And it's so sad for us to think that someone it was so difficult for someone that they didn't want to exist anymore. Like, that just hurts my heart so much. And I understand how depression can be so heavy, but to just, it's just so sad. So if you need help, or if there's, you know, something that's too much, just, you know, get the help you need, reach out. And I know sometimes that's hard. And it, I mean, it's also hard sometimes to like know the signs too, but like if you see someone who looks like they might need something, even just offering them, you know, the number of someone to call, or just letting them know that you're there to listen and just listen, can be helpful. But yeah, that, I just thought that was crazy, and something's not sitting well, but we'll, hopefully we don't hear any more about that. Switching gears real quick though. The Disney merger went through last week, and Anastasia is now a Disney princess.
You're so hyped.
I am. I'm so excited. And so, I mean, I don't know if they're going to do anything about it, because it's not like they made, it's not like they like engulfed Leia and made her like special within the princesses, but it would be really cool if they like reissued the Anastasia movie, because I really like that movie. It's actually pretty good. It was actually pretty well done. It would be cool to see an Anastasia re-release and to have her join the other princesses. That would be cute.
Yeah, you just do another Wreck-It Ralph movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and have her pop in there. That'd be cool. But I'm happy about the merger. Someone was saying, oh, I think you posted it. And you should have posted it to the page, too. That it'd be cool if at the end, or somewhere in Endgames, Deadpool popped in.
Yeah. Since he's the only one that survived the merger.
What do you mean?
He's the only X-Men character, X-Men franchise that is actually coming over.
He's the only one safe. Rebooted. Got you.
Yeah, he's the only one safe. Everyone else is getting recasted.
Right, because Ryan Reynolds is, I'm sorry, Deadpool. Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool, for all intents and purposes, from beginning to end. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, so it would be cool to see him in, like, even an end credit scene.
Yeah. You know what would be interesting, though? It'd be really interesting to see him now. It's like, oh, yeah, he gets to work with his ex-wife again.
Who's his ex-wife?
Scarlett Johansson.
Wait, what, really?
Yeah, they were a thing for a long time before he met Blake, before he got divorced and went with Blake Lively.
Oh, I think that's when I liked ScarJo. I used to really, really love her, and then something changed, and maybe it was when she lost the Reynolds in her life.
No, she's still fine. She's still
I didn't say she was okay, so let me. I don't know if you heard what I said. I didn't say anything about her attractiveness. I didn't mention anything about her looks.
you should see your twin brother.
Yeah, he's cute too. I wasn't talking about her looks and anything.
Oh, I know. I know you're talking about her personality and everything else like
you're
that.
Such a dude. Oh my God. I'm not talking about her looks at all.
Scarlett Johansson hasn't lost the edge that she has had since. She's kept the same edge since her and Chris Evans were trying to scale high school test scores and perfect score.
I think her acting wise, she's always been the same. I was referring to other things, but anyway.
Yeah.
So final thoughts before we wrap this up, since we've been chatting for a bit. Okay. This might actually take a while. So, Cardi started a bit of a tizzy, I guess, on the interwebs. And I don't know the full context of it, because I didn't get too deep into what she actually said versus what the internet is going berserk about. But apparently she said something to the effect, and I probably should go back and actually listen to it to make sure is what she actually said versus what the streets are talking about. but that when she was a stripper, she used to, you know, ply her clients with drinks and then, you know, run them for their stuff when they were intoxicated. But I feel like everyone's familiar with the stripper hustle, and that's not like a new thing. And that she's pretty much talked about that in like all of her songs. Like if you listen to like her first two mixtapes, like she basically talked about taking money from dudes. So like I'm not sure why people are surprised or angry or shocked, but I understand the conversation about double standards that are happening, because people are like, if a dude was like he drugged or got people drunk and then stole from them or took things from them, people would be up in arms. And I'm like, but is it the same or not the same? Because was she like drugging them, or were they like willing participants? I'm not sure.
Or what's the difference between, how about this, 50 Cent when he was a drug dealer robbing people with a gun, and what she did when she was younger in the streets? They all got a pass.
Right. He was an active drug dealer, but now he's a steady businessman who is also a bit of an ass. he's a bit rude.
Greatest troll in the world.
The biggest troll. Trolliest troll. But, like, she is, like, she's been real. I mean, I don't know. I'm not condoning her behavior. Let me be very, very clear. I don't know what that life is like, so I can't speak to it. But like, and I'm not going to be like, well, if those men weren't in that position, they wouldn't have gotten their money stolen. Cause I mean, I'm not going to quote unquote victim blame, but like, I'm just not understanding the people who are shocked and awed. Like she legit has been talking and saying these things from jump. So this isn't new. And if you were going to quote unquote cancel her, oh, you should have done that a year ago or 2 years ago at this point. So, yeah. That's what I wanted to say about that. Did you have any thoughts on it?
I'm just like, it's in her past, whatever. She did it, she didn't do it. It's nothing too damaging to her career or anything at this point. She's fine. She's about to trademark her catchphrase. She said she's about to do a book about her life. So I'm like, okay, just keep doing what you're doing, Cardi.
Yeah. So I guess the thing about it is people are like, if she was a dude, that, you know, it would be a bigger deal, and that there's a double standard that exists when women do things versus when men get accused of things, and that it's unfair.
Jay-Z used to rob people with a knife in the streets. We gonna forget about that?
I mean, I think a lot of people have.
He literally talks about certain things of drugs in his album still about back in the day. So, like, come on. Like, you have a whole third thing of gangster rappers who did things in a day, but they've been changed people. She's 26 years old. God, let it go.
I mean, I'm gonna say, I don't think your age absolves you of things. And I don't think that, you know, the past is always the past. But, yeah, in this instance, okay, I think it's a case-by-case basis for me. But, in this case, obviously I am. I think, though, the cancel culture is very subjective. It's so weird in the space that we're in with the internet. I think that's why American Gods is such an interesting show. Because I feel like it touches on so many different things about how we consume the things that are around us versus the old way we used to do things and how there's similarities in what we quote unquote worship or pay homage to or give our time and energy and money and preference to. It's so interesting, and I'm really enjoying the show so far this season. And I'm looking forward to how they're going to craft it. So, are you enjoying the show so far?
So, you've only watched the first two episodes this season?
I don't know how that helps you answer the question I just asked.
I'm enjoying it. I'm just asking you how far you got into it.
Right, but are you enjoying the show?
I said yes.
Okay, then that's yes. And yes, I've watched the first two episodes, and I'm halfway through the third episode.
So what do you think so far?
I just said that I'm enjoying listening to me. I just said I'm really enjoying the show so far. How are you enjoying the show? Like that's what I said.
All right. I'm asking you a question because I'm feeling like you since episode two and you saw all that stuff with the flashbacks. What do you think it was trying to tell you?
What do I think? Who was trying to tell me?
The flashbacks. Shadow's past.
I mean, I think it's interesting that we don't know who his father is. But I think that we, from the beginning, we knew that there was something special about Shadow.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that now that we're given a hint, I love the storyline of him and his mother and the things that she instilled in him. And the fact that she kept saying that I put the light in you, that you have this light in you. And we don't know who his father is. And then, so right now in the part where I am in the season three, we're talking about Zeus and how Zeus has Zeus philanders. So I mean, I don't know who his father is, but I'm assuming his father is a god of some sort that, you know, came and left or a demigod, perhaps. I don't know. That was my first thought was that Shadow's father was either a god or a demigod, and then he had to leave, or he was a human that may have been endowed with powers or something, and then was killed for stepping out of line or something of those sort. But I thought that we established in the first season that there was something special about Shadow because he was able to withstand so much. And because Wednesday picked him specifically, I was intrigued by, sorry, spoilers for whoever, apologies. Whoever, I want to know who handed him the coin. I want to know who gave him the coin. Like, was it his father? Like who gave him the coin? And then what does his mother die of? Did she die of AIDS?
Wait. So you really don't, nah, I can't say it now because I feel like it's kind of obvious.
Certain you can't things, say what?
It's kind of obvious of certain things of like who his father is.
Why is it obvious? What am I missing?
Who do you think gave him the coin?
You think the leprechaun is his dad?
No.
You think Wednesday gave him the coin?
Yes.
I mean, the voice sounded like Wednesday.
Who else besides Shadow does the stupid trick with the damn coin?
It's not a stupid trick. It's a really cool trick.
Yes, but who else does it besides him? Wednesday. Why is Wednesday thinking he's so important that he picks Shadow to be the one thing that he needs people to believe in? Shadow.
I mean, I guess.
It's so obvious that he's Wednesday's son.
I suppose. But why does his mother think he's dead?
His mother doesn't think he's dead. She's just saying that to Shadow so he doesn't go looking.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. But that does interesting into another thing. If Shadow is Wednesday's child, I want to see how he's going to react to Wednesday's other kids because he is Thor. He has like what? You have like Thor, you have Loki. Is Shadow one of them or is he another child of Odin.
I mean, Odin has lots of kids, doesn't he?
Exactly. Yeah, but I'm like, you know, the big names like Thor, Loki,
and Hera.
Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, so you have like, it could be one of them, or he could be another child that was just out there.
Do we know for sure? I mean, yeah, so he gives him the coin, but does that necessarily mean that that's his dad?
I'm like 99.9% sure that's his dad.
That's his dad. It does, I mean, he could be the guy who gave him the coin, but I don't know if that's his dad.
Hey, I'm like, Mom, do you want to mention your father?
Odin.
He's the only one that 100% believes in Shadow without any hesitation.
I mean, his wife also believes in him.
Yeah, but, well, you haven't finished episode 3, so. Yeah, I'll get there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's his dad. Yeah. I don't know if I'm there yet. But yeah. I definitely think that Shadow's father has some kind of other quality to him. But I loved the story of him and his mother. But I was very saddened by how he probably, like, the death of his mother is what turned him against the gods. That was sad. But it does parallel how a lot of people deal with the death of loved ones. You know, they often blame God. So, like I said, I'm really enjoying how this show is being written and taking the story further from how it was in the book and really examining gods in America. So yeah, really, really liking it a lot. And really enjoying it. And looking forward to Good Omens too. That's going to be excellent when that comes out. So yeah, it's been another great evening of conversation, sir.
It's been an awesome evening of conversation.
So for those of you listening, this podcast is always enjoyable. If you reach out and let us know what you want to hear about, or if you comment on what we've talked about, we'd love to hear your reviews. So, you know, hit us up on, I guess, iTunes, leave a review, leave some comments wherever you listen to the podcast. We'd love to hear your feedback so we can improve and get better as we continue to do this little show. You can also leave comments and feedback on our Instagram, 2AP Studios, on our Twitter, 2AP Studios as well, or on our Facebook, 2AppOssible. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Stay awesome.
Peace out.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.